Because our dad is an amazing, awesome, mind-blowing creator who knows everything, can do what is impossible for us to do, and yet we can call him daddy. Isn't that great? So just tell the person next to you, I call God daddy. I call God daddy. And so I want to share for a little while some scriptures about being filled with God's faith, God's love, and God's joy. Because it's not something we have to manufacture. It's not something we've got to drum up. It's something we receive as a gift from God. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, some of us probably know this verse very well. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." When I was talking with Maureen, Karen and I were talking with Maureen and with Mike and Jenny yesterday. They're all three of them are quite a bit older, 20 years older than me. And they've all had health challenges in their lives. And we were talking together about the journey we're on of trusting God for healing. And, you know, Maureen was sharing, she's had some major operations in her life. The last time I saw Mike and Jenny since before yesterday was a few days before I flew to the Philippines last summer. And I was working at George Eliot Hospital, and I was walking through and I saw them sitting in the waiting area, and I could tell Mike didn't look very well. And I had a quick chat and found out they were waiting some test results, and that Mike was quite ill. And so I said, well, I'm off to the Philippines at the weekend and I'll pray for you. And I didn't see them again. And they weren't well enough to come to my birthday party in November, my 50th. But yesterday, Mike was really well. He looked amazingly well. And he's had an operation in the meantime and so forth. But it was just really good to see him looking so well. Because when I phoned Jenny in November to tell him about the birthday party, I got the impression that it was touch and go with Mike, that she didn't know whether he was going to live much longer. So it was really wonderful to see him yesterday full of beans and talking away as ever. So, you know, faith, we were talking about faith. Faith is between me and Jesus. It's what do I trust Jesus for in my life? And we were talking as well about some people that they knew that they'd had, some Christians that had got sick and some had died and some were still seriously ill. And we were talking about the fact that we don't understand all the time, you know, how healing works and why some people do not seem to receive healing from the Lord. But I think what we've got to do here is personalize faith. Each one of us, okay? Do I believe, is faith is the substance of what I am hoping for? Am I hoping for good health? Okay, that's where faith starts. You've got to have a vision. You've got to have an expectation in your heart that does Jesus want to heal me? Does he want me to be well? And faith is the evidence of things not seen. And you know, there have been times in my life where I've had symptoms of sickness. They've not gone away, but I've chosen to keep believing God and keep hoping and keep believing that he will heal me. And that he has already healed me, and that I have it, and therefore the sickness must go. And that's and there's another passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read that. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that God's been encouraging me through over the last few weeks. And the phrase that first came to me was the spirit of faith, that God has given us the spirit of faith. And I read this at the beginning of the service, so I won't read all these verses again. In the New King James Version, it talks us, you know, we may feel under a lot of pressure. Paul says we're hard pressed on every side. He felt struck down, but not destroyed. And in verse 11, "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh, in our body." And I heard someone teaching about this, it was when we were down at Soul Survivor. He was talking about, really, the Holy Spirit was given because Jesus went to the cross. We could not receive the Holy Spirit if Jesus had not died and sacrificed himself for us. And now the Holy Spirit lives inside us. The Holy Spirit leads us to say no to ourselves and say yes to Jesus when the two come into conflict. And that's really what Paul's talking about here, that he was not living to please himself, and he was willing to risk his life and to face death in order to do what Jesus had told him to do. And because he was doing that, the life of Jesus was manifested. The life of Jesus is released when we trust him and go out on a limb for the Lord. Amen. Verse 13 says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that God, he who raised up the Lord Jesus, will also raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you." So Paul has like an eternal perspective of the problems he's in right now. He knows they're temporary, as he comes on to say a bit later. And he's saying, really, I believe that we're going to get through all this trouble we're facing when I'm traveling around telling people about Jesus. And therefore, I speak what I believe. I speak that Jesus is going to deliver me. He's going to raise me up. And he'd probably been, or at this stage, he'd already been stoned, attacked with rocks several times and left for dead. So he wasn't just talking theory here, or, you know, just spiritual concepts. He was talking reality. He was saying that, you know, even though I face death-defying situations, I believe Jesus is going to keep me going until I've done everything he's called me to do. And and you are going to receive his resurrection life because I'm being obedient. And I believe this, and therefore I speak it out. And I speak out that the Lord Jesus will raise us up and will present us together with you. You know, the goal is that we're all going to stand before Jesus free of death, free of sickness, free of lack, free of fear, free of depression, of selfishness, and we're going to have forever together with the Lord on a new earth. And that is worth speaking out, amen? So just pick something of what I've just said. I'm quoting scripture. Tell the person next to you what you believe of that is true for you. Jesus. Amen. That's good. So, you know, we can't speak out what we believe too much. And, you know, so that's what I'm going to encourage us to do. That's what I'm encouraging us to do today. And it goes on to say, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. I'm getting some grey hairs. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And we can expect to get stronger and younger on the inside every day, if you like. I heard a talk by a guy about C.S. Lewis's books, the Narnia books. And in one of the books, I think it's The Silver Chair, the children come back at the end and King Caspian is very old and sick and he dies. And everyone's feeling sad and they have a funeral. And then Aslan takes the children away, and they suddenly go to his land up the mountains, and they come to a river, and they see that the dead king's body that they've just seen in the funeral lying in the bed of the river, with the river flowing over him. And Aslan, you know, there's a tear in Aslan's eye, and he tells one of the children to get a big thorn out of a bush and drive it into his big paw. And when he does that, a big drop of blood falls down into the river and lands on King Caspian, and suddenly as they look at him, his body gets younger and younger. So he's got this long white beard, so his beard, and he gets younger and younger and younger, and then he gets up. And you know, C.S. Lewis talks about the fact that you couldn't really tell what age he was. He's not a child, but he's you know, he didn't really look old. And, you know, that was his belief. When we get to heaven, we're all going to, you know, not look old. We're not going to have grey hair or wrinkles or looking forward to that. Amen. And we've already got this treasure on the inside. And said that in verse 7. So this is already a reality on the inside. And so these old bodies we've got, I'm probably the oldest one here, I think. So these old bodies we've got, they're just carrying around the real us, the treasure. That says, therefore, we do not lose heart for our light affliction. So to just tell someone near you, my problems are light right now. My problems are light. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, I'm 50 years old now. What do those 50 years mean for me now? I've got loads of memories in my brain, but they're all gone. I'm living in the moment. And when I step out of this body, at least another 50 years maybe, when I step out of this body, God is outside time. You know, and the things we go through, I've been through lots of trouble in my life, but, you know, I've forgotten it all, really, to be honest. It's, you know, because Jesus helps us to focus on what's important. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That sounds good, doesn't it? Weight of glory. The reason I fell on the floor a couple of weeks ago, as I was worshiping God at the front, and I just felt this really heavy peace come on me. Heavy peace. Like God's love and peace and presence. And I thought, ooh, I didn't want to keep standing up. So it was a wonderful, it was God's presence, the weight of his glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. So one of the problems we face living in this world is we're always tempted to just keep looking at what we see. But through the Holy Spirit, he allows us, he gives us x-ray vision. He allows us to look at the unseen world. He allows us to look at who we really are in the mirror and say, you know, I am a child of God, like we're singing. God loves my socks off. God loves me to bits. You know, I'm God's favorite child. We can all say that. He favors all of us in that sense. You know, we're all equally favored. Yeah, and we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. You know, Jill, Jason and I are working through a course called Friendship First at the Job Club, which is equipping Christians to befriend Muslims, because all of our Job Club members are Muslims pretty much now. And on these videos, there are testimonies of Muslims who've come to faith in Jesus. There was an imam from Uganda who was praying in his mosque when the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to trust in Jesus Christ and follow him. And he thought it was Satan speaking to him, so he prayed to Allah and said, Allah, take this voice away. I only want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. And then having asked Allah that, the voice came again and said, I want you to trust in Jesus Christ and follow him. And he said he felt like an earthquake. The voice was all around him. And he knew it was God. And so having despised Christians all his life and looked down on them as being weak and wishy-washy, and he walked out of his mosque, walked across the university campus, walked into a Christian chapel, freaked them all out because they all knew him, and said, I want to, you know, told them what God had spoken to him. Long story short, he gave his life to Jesus. And he ended up having to flee for his life. And he said at one point a Christian had hidden, he was hiding in his house because the Muslims were out to kill him because they knew he'd become a Christian. And this Christian said no, you know, he protected him. And he said, when I was hiding there, he said, I knew if they'd found me, they would have killed me and they would have killed this guy who was sheltering me. But he said, The weeks and the months I spent running, hiding, he said, they were the best time for my spiritual growth. He said, because I learned so much. The Holy Spirit, I was reading the Bible all the time because I couldn't do anything else. And the Holy Spirit was explaining to me the answers to all the questions I had. And he talked about how he has friends in the Middle East who've become Christians from countries where that's not legal. And their lives are at risk. And he was saying that for them, that is not the major concern. They're not too worried, because he was talking to one of them about they were going to go back to their country and follow Jesus there, even though they knew it could cost them their life. But he was saying, what I have with Jesus, what I have discovered in him, is worth so much more than me just being killed, you know, that cost. And that's really inspiring when you hear Christians, new Christians, saying that. You know, it puts our problems into perspective, doesn't it? Is anyone trying to kill you at the moment? It might be someone, but but anyway, you know, thank God Jesus is with us even in those situations. Now, let me just finish off with some of the scriptures. If you get cold, just jump up and down a bit and shout hallelujah. So, Luke chapter 10. Now, it happened, this is verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples travelled, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to load the dishwasher alone? Sometimes, do you ever feel that way? Yes. We have these conversations in our house, who's done their fair share, and who's and so forth. But that's exactly how Martha was feeling. Therefore, she said to Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So what Jesus was saying, he was not saying you need never do any chores in your home. What he was saying was the most important thing is that we all take time to chill out and listen to Jesus. Let him speak to us, so that we hear his voice in our hearts. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, verses 2 to 4, he's talking about being a shepherd. He says, the shepherd who enters by the door of the sheepfold is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's a promise. Jesus was talking about you and me there. He is my shepherd, he's your shepherd, and I hear his voice. Just tell the person next to you, I hear God's voice. Now I encourage you to say that, even if you haven't ever heard it yet, because Jesus said you will hear his voice, okay? So this is about believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. And that was one of the big challenges I had when I was a new Christian. I used to doubt that God would speak to me. But when I started believing that he would, then when I heard things going inside me and pictures and words, I thought, oh, I wonder if that's God speaking to me. Well, that wouldn't be a surprise, would it, if Jesus said he will? So, you know, we believe that he does. And then I'm going to finish with John chapter 15. Jesus said, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my commandments and abide in his love. Now, I read this a couple of weeks ago, and I saw this in these verses in a fresh light. We've been studying in the Storyform way what happened in the Garden of Eden and how God told Adam and Eve, "Don't you can eat from any tree you want to. You've got this whole earth. You've got this whole garden. There's just one tree you must not eat from. And if you eat from that, you'll die." And that's an example of a commandment of God. Why did God give them that commandment? A, because he loved them. He blessed them all he possibly could. And he wanted to give them an opportunity to choose to love him and trust him rather than trust themselves. And they failed. And we often fail that same challenge, you know. But as newborn believers, as God's sons and daughters, it's in our nature to want to trust God rather than ourselves, rather than our own ideas, rather than our own feelings. And the Holy Spirit strengthens our new spirit within us to make those right choices more and more as we go through life. So what Jesus is saying here is, I've stayed in my Father's love because I've kept his commandments, and I realize that the reason he's given me his commandments is because he wants me to stay every day, every moment, walking in his love, wherever he wants me to go, doing whatever he wants me to do. And Jesus is saying, the reason I tell you to do things is because I want you to stay in my love. So that's why it's important that we listen to God and we ask him questions. We can't ask the Lord too many questions. You know, sometimes we can ask him dumb questions, but at least we learn how to ask good questions. A good question to ask the Lord is, Lord, what do you think about this? What do you want me to say? What do you want to say to me about this? And he will speak to us, and if we do what he says, we will find we stay in the love of God. All hell may break loose. You know, and some of us are experiencing all kinds of trouble because we have listened to God. So in those situations, you can draw on the love of God and say, God, I'm in this situation because I did what you told me to do. So I thank you that your love abides in me. And Jesus goes on to say, verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. How full is your joy right now on a scale of 1 to 10? Tell the person next to you. What's your joy level like on a scale of 1 to 10? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm probably about a 4. I've been a lot more joyful. The thing is, we could all leave here on a 10 today. Do you think? Is the Holy Spirit willing to raise our joy level? We look at things that are not seen, who we are in Christ. Jesus loves us. He's with us. He's never going to leave us and forsake us. And he's going to speak to us as his sheep this week, and he's going to tell us where to go. He's going to call us, and we're going to follow him. He's going to go ahead, go through the situations we're in, that my joy may be full. So I think it'd be a great way to pray together. Let's release God's love, peace, and joy into one another's lives. If you start laughing, just let it happen. I had a good laugh. When I was on the floor a few weeks ago, I just started laughing. Nobody was telling jokes. Nobody was making me laugh. It was the Holy Spirit making me laugh. And, laughter is good medicine. Now, I've heard of people getting healed just watching Laurel and Hardy films, because they've been stuck at home, sick. And, so let's just bless one another. All the women, we'll bless all the women. Particularly those who are mothers, and you could be mothers in the future but we'll bless, or maybe you could pray for your mothers if you're not a mother at the moment. But let's just pray together, and let's just ask the Lord this week to help us all hear his voice, follow him, receive and walk in his love, so every day we know we're loved by God, and that our joy will climb up the scale this week. Amen. And people may, by the end of this week, someone comes to me, why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? When I know you're under a lot of stress and pressure and trouble, why are you so joyful? Dave Jewell said, throw a party, bake a cake, get some friends around, have a big cake if trouble attacks you. So let's stand up, shall we? And let's get into at least twos or threes and just pray together and bless one another.